This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 17th pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Welcome to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough for another Patriots Draft Prospect Review Podcast where we
preview.
Thank you, Paul. The prospects for the upcoming NFL Draft.
We're in Paul's sweet spot today.
That's right, guys. We being Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo from Patriots Football Weekly. I don't know why I had to point because none of you can see us, but I felt like it has more effect that way. Yeah, we're talking O-line today. As we get closer to the draft, we're getting closer to the areas of most pressing need for this Patriots team. And today it's O-line, and we're going to start, guys, from the outside, work our way in. Go with the tackle position first because I think tackle and guard are probably the two areas that could be of great need for this team.
That and centering. I just think you listen to it, the three maybe.
No, I know, but a lot of people think that this is a very deep area for this team historically, and it has been. But with the situations surrounding Matt Leight, Logan Mankins, Stephen Neal's retirement, Nick Kazier in flux with his medical condition.
And there, contract.
Right. There's some serious growing need for the Patriots at this position. So let's start on the outside with tackles. On the Andy Hart big board that we all like to look at, Nate Solder listed as the top guy, and he's also the biggest guy, 6'8", 315. I was unimpressed, though, with the way he used his size and power against his opponents. I didn't think he overpowered people as much as I would have liked to see a guy his size do.
Well, yeah.
Your thoughts?
He's skinny. He's lanky. I think he did 20 or 21 reps at the combine. A lot of the running backs, I remember specifically Jordan Todman, an undersized running back, had 25 reps. And this guy's
225 bench, for those of you who aren't aware.
315 tackle, and he's doing 20 reps. That's not overly impressive. He's a former tight end, so he's one of those. You know, as much as he's a highly thought of prospect, he's still kind of early on in that transition and the development as a tackle. And you're right. At this point, he's more of an athlete with a wingspan and the look of what you want in a tackle than he is a finished product. You know, Jonathan Ogden or Walter,
Jones,
Orlando Pace, one of those just slot him in first round pick and he's my perfect tackle for the next 12 years. You won't see a quarterback get touched. He's going to have a learning curve, but it's the upside you'd be drafting.
Yeah. And I just want to piggyback on that. I did have a conversation about a month ago with somebody in the Patriots organization and just kind of talking about that specific thing about the strength coming out. And it's obvious. You obviously want strong offensive linemen, but I think the Patriots tend to shy away from the guys who are developing their strength. They're not yet fully physically mature. And that's why, and I know we haven't gotten to him yet, but one guy that Andy has been talking about a lot and Eric has been talking about a lot since the combine, who might be a guard, is the Danny Watkins kid from Baylor. A little bit older and more physically developed, that might be the kind of guy the Patriots would tend to gravitate toward. Again, different positions probably, but you know, you look at a guy like Logan Mankins, who was – he was what he was when he came out of college. He was fully a four-year guy, fully developed physically. I think a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
Not sold, unsold.
Well, I just want to clarify. You know. They stay away from it early. They love it
late. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Middle of the draft and rookie free agents and even veterans from other teams, they're not going to pay you $1 million to develop.
Mm-hmm. Andy's absolutely right.
They're
going
to pay you $4,700 on the practice squad or, you know, $300,000 as the 53rd man on the roster to develop.
Turn you
into
the guy.
Steve Mineri is a guy who I think they believe could develop strength and athleticism into being a tackle in the NFL. He was on the practice squad last year. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, I don't think they're looking to take a project in the first round as a tackle or even a guard. I think they want those guys later. If they take a guy early, they expect him to start, you know, Sebastian Vollmer.
That's a good
distinction. I don't think they thought he was a project. I think they thought Sebastian Vollmer was going to come in and play, and they were right.
That's a good distinction. Thank you for adding that, because there is a big difference there. They have many times gone after developmental prospects.
Tom Ashworth, Russ Hochstein, there are all these guys.
Some of them have worked, some of them haven't.
Who were weak as you know, dry spaghetti, but they developed in the background, and then you got something out of them.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
They don't want them developing on the field with Tom Brady's life on the line.
Yep. Yeah, not in the early rounds of the draft. Your overall assessment of Solder, I think, is applicable to pretty much all of the top tackle prospects. Good, raw in some cases, a decent size and strength and measurables, but not a standout elite player at the position that you normally would like to have in your first round pick.
And you see that in the various mock drafts and, you know, Mike Mayock's top five. There's not a, whoa, he's a top five pick at tackle. Mm. There's these five guys who could go anywhere from 15 to 35, and they may all be pretty good NFL tackles, but I'm not sure anyone believes any of them is a surefire franchise tackle. You know, some of them have experience. Costanzo, BC. He's a 6'7", 308 type kid, has the build.
Four-year starter.
So he's experienced.
Very bright, too.
Yes. Rhodes Scholar, Canada, finalist, one of those. But no one thinks he's a surefire elite tackle. And I think that holds for all of them. You know, Gabe Karimi out of Wisconsin, he thinks he's the surefire best tackle in the draft, but no one seems to agree with him, or at least not with any consensus or unanimous nature. So there's a lot of good tackles in this draft. And I think if you want one where the Patriots are, you probably can get one. You just need to make sure you take the right one.
There's a name that I've been seeing who keeps rising up on people's mock drafts, and that's Tyron Smith of USC.
Tremendous.
Young kid who just turned 20 this past December, but has what Solder has in the very lanky frame, 285 at 6 feet 5.
He's put on some weight. I think he last measured in at like 310, so he has clearly said, no one's drafting me at 285. They'll draft me at 300. The problem is it just fat?
Well, or is it,
he's a huge projection now, because you're asking a guy to play at 25 pounds heavier. And oh, by the way, he was a right tackle at USC. I have this big issue with, oh, but he's a left tackle in the NFL. Well, why wasn't he a left tackle at USC?
Exactly. We remember the Virginia kids from
a few years ago.
Brandon Albert projects them.
I don't like it.
Monroe, right?
Eugene Monroe.
I like my left tackles in the NFL to have played left tackle at some point in their career.
Yeah, now, if you have a left tackle and you say he'll be a right tackle in the NFL, that happens all the time, but it's very rare that
it's a harder job. You usually go down a job, not up a job, and he's looking to go up a job.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, phenomenal athlete, tremendous. He has the skills that you'd say, that guy looks like a left tackle. A, why isn't he playing left tackle? And B, can he do it at the NFL in that jump in weight and everything that he'll have to do? But you just watch the tape and you say, now I see why they project him as an NFL left tackle.
Right.
He's very impressive.
And I worry that since the season ended and now that he's put on that weight, and I wonder where he's put that weight on, because it's kind of tough to put.
Paul, you know, kind of in the midsection.
Well, I think Eric's point is, and you know, without the cheap shot that you insist on taking, can he play as athletically,
or is it like
with
Fred
the extra 15, 20 pounds? Well, it might also, you wonder, the uniforms at the NFL level might be too tight.
That's true.
You know, like Fred, it's the shirt's fault.
But he's a very intriguing prospect who I would be scared to death to draft.
That high
in the first
anyway,
round.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk the Cowboys want to tackle and the Cowboys like him.
Yeah.
Ooh, if you take him at the ninth pick in the draft and say, you're going to go to my left tackle spot, America's team, talk about pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be in the spotlight from day one in an organization where, you know, if you suck for two games, Jerry Jones is going to say, well, we got a tackle who can't block anybody. You know, I mean, you're going to be thrown into the fire, and that scares me.
Yeah, he's not afraid to
tackle who can't block anybody.
Jerry's not afraid to make those risky picks, but he's also not afraid to rip them after
to
he
criticize them later. He expects them to perform, and
right.
I'd be scared to death with Tyron Smith.
Okay, we mentioned pretty much all of the big names at the tackle. Any other sort of sleepers at that area that you saw when we were watching?
Well, I don't know if he's a sleeper, but I really like the kid out of Alabama, James Carpenter, third-round pick type, maybe a little bit higher than that. Comes from a pro offense, 6'5", 300, 27 starts at left tackle. So, you know, I like that. They start at left tackle if you want to play tackle.
Right.
He may actually be a right tackle.
If you want a left tackle, you got to take a left tackle.
Well, he might be a right tackle because we know Sebastian Vollmer could slide left. He's a swing tackle. He's played both here. So you're drafting one or the other. I like James Carpenter. Obviously, he got a little bit of the pipeline prospect in him, but he moves well. He pulls. They did a lot of stuff with him on the move. And we know in the Patriots offense, some of those screen passes, we call them the impossible blocks. They expect those tackles to get out there and make blocks on those wide receiver screens.
Mm.
He looks like he has some of that ability. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Chris Hairston out of Clemson is a guy that I liked. 3-year starter, 6'6", 325, big guy. A little bit top-heavy, I thought. A little bit of a Fred Kirsch-type build. Those of us who listen to PFW in Progress know what I mean about that. Sometimes they have fat shoulders. But he's a good athlete for his size. I mean, he moves well for 325. He can also pull. Because I like, that's one of the things I look for most if I'm saying, is he a Patriot?
Right.
Can he move?
Right.
And can he get out and pull? Can he do the screens and all the things that we know you're going to be asked to do in this offense?
Because there are a lot of big bodies, especially in the sleeper range, the mid to late round range, you know, with the 6'6", 6'7", 320, 30 size, but they have the very slow 40s, and they look slow.
Right.
When you watch them on tape, they don't really get out in space very well.
It's those first, you know, two, three steps. Can he get out of his stance and get around that corner? They're all going to look slow once they get into the open field because, you know, they're 325 pounds and there's receivers, running backs, and corners running around them.
Right.
But can they get to that point where they can just get in the way?
Right.
And that's all you need to do on those. You know, Stephen Neal was very good at it. He was athletic enough.
As good as anyone I've seen.
He didn't just have to get in the way. He could block people because, you know, he's a wrestler. He made his living mirroring people prior to coming to the NFL. I don't look for that in these guys. I just look for, can you get out there and get in the way so that Kevin Faulk or Danny Woodhead can use you as a screen and cut off your block?
The Patriots O-line position and position coach have sort of taken on the reputation that the Denver Broncos used to have, where they were the smallest line in the league, but they were also the most athletic and the toughest to block.
Well, they're more of a zone, you know, they don't like to be pigeonholed into anything, but more of a zone blocking team, so they're undersized athletic linemen, but undersized is still 310, 315.
Right. Yeah, which is about 20 pounds heavier than the Broncos O-line used to be.
Now,
all right, let's move
in. Your boy Ejelinor, is he more of a guard?
He is more of a guard, and if we're going to talk about, that's a good transition, Paul Perillo. I'll steal Eric's transition there.
Okay, sorry.
Ejelinor, I like, don't love. Good player, probably a guard at the next level.
But you'll have another guy at that level.
Yes, started a ton of games at Villanova, and we know, you know, the Patriots scout Villanova, as one ASPFW emailer pointed out, with the Ventrones. They're familiar with Villanova.
Good bloodlines there.
But Danny Watkins would probably be the high of that class. He's a guy that everyone compares to Logan Mankins. You can see it on film.
Oh,
he's got a nasty streak.
Yes,
he hits people after the whistle.
Right.
Started at left tackle for his career at Baylor. A little bit older, more mature, firefighter, Canada, all that stuff. A lot of people think he's the Patriots pick at the 28th spot, so he's a guy to keep an eye on. But the guy I like is Will Rackley out of Lehigh.
Mm-hmm.
Dominated at a lower level of football, like...
As you would expect.
Well, you'd expect, but
you don't always
see it. I didn't
like
see
Ejelinor.
It from Vladimir Dukas. I didn't see him dominate at that level. This guy killed people, toyed with people. He was like a cat with a mouse. He just locked on, bent him over, and did whatever he wanted with him.
Easy now.
You know what I mean. He took their will away, and you don't see that a lot on a football field. Will it transition to the next level? I'd like to find out in New England.
All right, talk to me about a couple of four-year starters. Stephen Schilling of Michigan, Clint Bowling of Georgia. We talked about that.
Oh, I like Bowling a lot. He's a very versatile guy. He's played
tackle
guard, both spots there. And it's a pro-style offense, so you'd think it would kind of translate. You know, a lot of these guys are coming out of these spread systems where they got five-foot splits and they're always in a two-point stance. So, you know, James Carpenter, Bowling, some of these guys come from pro-style offenses. I think that's a step ahead in what we talked about, being ready to play early on in their career. I like his versatility.
All right, and don't know if we had the tape on him or not, but I'm interested in the pipeline guy from Fresno State, Andrew Jackson, our presidential pick this year. We talked to at the Combine. I didn't get that far into the tape yet, Andy. But
we didn't have tape on him. He's an interesting guy because of the pipeline. Anytime Pat Hill coaches an offensive lineman, he used to develop offensive linemen for Bill in Cleveland. So you say, okay, let's pay attention. You know, he talked a lot about watching Mankins tape, and they would get fired up by watching Mankins. So obviously there's that tie in. But again, not I didn't see any tape, so it's hard to really talk about his playing skill.
Okay. Moving on to centers then, the final spot in the O-line. Almost everyone agrees Stefan Wisniewski from Penn State is the number one guy. Another four-year starter, also has the bloodlines with father and uncle, both having been NFL players, and in his uncle's case, an NFL star for the Raiders. What do we think of him?
He's a very good prospect.
Yeah.
A lot of experience, played guard and center for them over his career there. Obviously, you mentioned the bloodlines. Clearly is smaller, you know, is that interior type size at, you know, 6'3", 310 type of guy. Solid. I mean, that's all. You just look at a guy that you think, can he come in?
Yeah.
Is he going to be a superstar? I don't know. But will I regret drafting him? No, I think
probably
he'll be a
not.
Starter
yeah,
on my team
of,
for like 8
things,
years.
Like that Andy just said, are to me, are things that the Patriots would be interested in. You know, the experience, the bloodlines, you know, the versatility to play guard or center, which, again, you don't have to make the projection. He did it. It's there.
Right.
You can watch it. So he's a guy that I would think, you know, at the top of this podcast, Eric, you mentioned the state of flux that the Patriots offensive line is in.
Right.
They may need guys immediately, and he's a guy that's going to get taken a little bit higher in the draft than some of the other, you know, projections that we're talking about later on. Wisniewski's a guy I wouldn't be stunned about, you know, say in the second or third round.
And I wouldn't be stunned. We're talking about this if they take two of them.
Two of these guys, they need some offensive linemen. They're going to be
in those first
some.
Six picks. I think there's a chance they take two.
I agree.
A guard and a tackle.
I don't know how long he's going to be around. Maybe he's higher than that.
He's in that second round window, and maybe even a little later than that. And you know, there's no really highly thought of centers in this class. Obviously, Pouncey is everybody's favorite offensive lineman.
More people thinking he's going to be a guard.
Yeah, and I think he's living off his brother's name and reputation as much as anything else. I think he's good, not great, and I think he's going to get drafted too high.
One last name before we throw this over
Jason
to
Kelsey.
Go ahead on him.
That wasn't the name?
That wasn't the name.
Out of Cincinnati.
So how long are we going here?
6'2"-ish, center guard type, again, zone blocking scheme, which is obviously something you look for with a Patriots offensive lineman.
Sure.
Good leader. Finishes his block, something else I look for. Little undersized, but very quick. 4'8", 9'40". And for an offensive lineman, a guy weighing in, you know, 285-ish in college, maybe have him bulk up, develop as a six-round pick. Jason Kelsey out of Cincinnati, possible Patriot.
Okay, Tim Barnes, three-year starter from Missouri. I liked his technique as a stand-up blocker. Moved pretty decently in space. 6'4", 300.
I don't like him.
A little bit taller than most centers, but you had the Andy Hart down arrow?
Quick down arrow.
Completely down, double down, or sort of a southeast down?
Southeast down. Good technique. But doesn't finish any of his blocks. I didn't think he's capable of moving people around the NFL level. Maybe if you sandwich him between two good guards, put him at center. You know, I don't think Dan Copen's the most powerful guy. I don't think he finishes a lot of blocks. We've seen Chris Jenkins have his way with Copen at times.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think that's the kind of guy Barnes is. Surrounded by the right talent, maybe, but not a stud.
All right. Well, there's going to be a lot more draft talk right after us. I mean, right after us, you're downloading this podcast. But if you listen to Patriots.com radio this week, next week, and the weeks coming up till the draft, you'll hear Brian Lowe's voice. That's Brian Lowe from Patriots Today. He's going to be coming up. So download his podcast when he's done later. For us, we'll see you next week.
This is John Hanna, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.